Blog Talk Radio.
When I want to feel the presence of the Lord, I go to the songs that have power. Songs that deal with the cross. Because we can't get so advanced that we forget the cross of Calvary. I don't hear you in here. We can't.
Well, good evening, everyone, and we do so appreciate your joining us tonight on Breaking the Silence. And this is your host, Pastor Katie Pierce, and I'm coming to you on behalf of Hope Alliance. Hope Alliance, Inc. is healing opportunities proposed for everyone, and it is a advocate for domestic violence and the eradication of domestic violence. And we stand in solidarity and base our principles upon the Bible and the Word of God. And so we're coming to you. I don't want you to, you know, to think that this is just going to be a counseling session, but we base everything on the Bible, the principles of the Bible. Our desire, of course, is to be the help to those, to help families stay together based on the Word of God and to help eradicate, again, domestic violence. So we do so appreciate your joining us on tonight on this segment of Breaking the Silence. And, of course, on tonight we want to talk about identifying emotional abuse, And my reason for wanting to, because if you go back probably in previous episodes, I'm sure there's an episode where we've talked about emotional abuse, we've talked about gaslighting, we've talked about a variations of topics with reference to emotional abuse. And yet we're still finding and reading articles in the paper where we feel that had someone been sensitive to red flags, it could have gone in another direction. And so we really want to set a foundation. We really want to set some groundwork here so that we can begin to look at some things. Starting of it with emotional abuse usually intends to escalate to physical abuse. And so if we could, you know, get out of that thing or turn that thing around at that particular cycle, then I think we can alleviate it getting to a point of physical abuse. And so I found myself on today, I was reading some articles and was just very, very bothered by the fact that it seems to be an onslaught of domestic violence is still rearing its head in relationships. Domestic violence, especially murder, suicide, and things of that nature, is still rearing its head. And I was reading an article today about a man who had a violent background and who was accused of beating his stepchildren with a brick. And as I began to read the article, his life is just like, wow. Here we have a man who was arrested because of the affidavit that the children said that he beat them in the face with a brick. But this young man's conviction, he had a murder, it had been in prison, had just gotten out of prison. I think it was April, the year before, so he hadn't been out of prison long. He met a young lady. The young lady and he got married April 18th, and here we are May 18th, and he's been arrested for abusing her children. So as I'm reading this article, and I'm not trying to throw any blame on anybody, because I think that when people say love is blind, sometimes that proves to be true, but love doesn't have to be blind. We need to go in with our eyes wide open. The violence reflected murder convictions, armed robbery, and things of that nature. This young man was in Miami-Dade County Jail, and when he got out of county jail, some different things happened. He met a young lady. She was like 26 years old. It's just an onslaught. He had been on probation since January 1, 2015. He was released from prison after serving 10 years and 19 days. The convictions was two counts of second-degree murder, two counts of robbery with a deadly weapon, two counts of armed robbery, two counts of kidnapping, assault, and terrorizing, one count of aggravated assault with a weapon, and one count of grand theft auto. There were no red flags. There were no red flags. I think yes. And so we just want to get to a point in our lives where we start noticing things and noticing these red flags. A couple of years ago, well, maybe more than a couple, but I remember talking to an attorney at Lisa Madigan's office here in Chicago, because we had also helped a young lady, Hope Alliance had helped a young lady who was going through domestic violence, and she was being stalked, and we, once we went to help her to get her order of protection, we found out this young man had over 12 orders of protections against him. And I was just fit to be tied. And so I called Lisa Madigan's office to talk to an attorney about trying to start a website for women to go to find out if a person has a history of violence. If you could, you know, on the onset, I'm sorry, jobs do background checks, and we're living in some times now where you almost got to do a background check. You got to have a physical. I need to see your physical because so many things, and it's the truth. You know, you've heard of men who've been spreading AIDS to women, and not, you know, giving women AIDS, and you don't know, you meet a person and they're so suave, they're so debonair, and we fall head over heels, and we know nothing about this person, nothing about where they've come from, and we get into these relationships, and then we find out at the end of it that this person was really not who they perceive themselves to be or who they portray themselves to be. And by that time, it's too late. By that time, in the incidents of this situation, children have been hurt. By that, it's just an onslaught of things. And so we really, really are going to have to go into this relationship, into relationships, or seeking, when we're seeking out relationships, we have to go in with our eyes wide open. We have to begin to look at this person, find out more about them. You know, we've talked previously on previous segment about people who get in relationships and he want to rush everything, trying to rush you to the altar. That, look at that as a red flag. You know, if you don't know that person, you haven't been in a relationship with that person long enough to figure out what's going on, you have to look at it. We have to, ladies, we have to spend time in prayer. We have to, you know, begin to look at some situations and circumstances. Don't be at the person's beck and call. When you're at their beck and call and do everything, every now and again say, I got to wash my hair, I can't meet you tonight. And if that releases some things, or volatile behavior comes, or you are no good female dog, come on, look at it for what it is. Step away from it. You know, don't just say, well, he was tired because he had worked out. Don't give excuses. Don't give excuses. Look at it for what it is and begin to say, you know, this is not what I want in a relationship. And so I really, really wanted to go and begin to give some foundation to domestic violence. I really wanted to begin to look at it from an emotional standpoint, because if you got somebody who's always ridiculing you, if you got somebody who's always belittling you, if you got somebody who's always talking about you and they try to do it under the pretense that they just kidding, come on now, when are you serious? I need to see your serious side. You kid too much. You know, we have to begin to look at it, you know, in these relationships. And on the onset, if you're seeing things that are not good, if you're seeing things that are not healthy, step away from it. Step away from it. It's better to step away from it in the early stages of it than to get into it and find yourself you can't get out of it. Amen. And so That's what we want to begin to look at. Again, we appreciate you joining us. Let's open with the word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray now, O Lord God, that we will, O God, begin to minister and speak to the heart of those who are listening, O Lord God. We pray now in Jesus' name that they'll be open to receive what we have to give on today, O Lord God. We pray now, O Lord God, for anyone listening who may already be in a tumultuous relationship and they're looking for an escape. They're looking for an answer, O Lord God. We pray now, O Lord God, that the words that we speak on today will fall on good ears, O Lord God. We pray now, O Lord God, that the word will be effectuated in their lives, O Lord God. And we pray now, O Lord God, that you would keep them, that you would hide them under your wing, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, my God, the safest place in the whole wide world is in the will of God. So, Father, we pray now that your will be done in Jesus' name. It is so, and so it is. Amen, and amen, and amen. Again, that was just one instance with this young man. I read another story on today of domestic violence where the victim took steps to protect herself, and still she ended up being killed. Gladys Tordillo, she was shot, and it was a senseless murder. When we begin to look at these things, I believe her husband was like 62 and he fled the scene. He killed two more people, wounded two people. It's just an onslaught where it seems like every time when I'm reading the paper, I'm seeing these incidences of domestic violence, and unfortunately it's not just the people of the world, but it's people, you know, even in a household of faith, we have a lot of domestic violence that's going on. And so that's why my saying has turned to, we need to begin to answer the silent cry in the pew. We need to begin to minister. One of the things that God shared with me, and we're going to get into our lesson, was God, that if one out of nine women are abused every so many seconds, how many of those nine women belong to somebody's church? Amen. That's a question that we have to begin to look at, and we have to begin to look at it in a serious matter. We have to begin to look at it and give an answer to it. Estimated assaults of women by partners range from approximately 2 to 4 million annually in the United States. 2 to 4 million people. How many of those people attend somebody's church? And here is an even greater question. How many of the batterers attend somebody's church? Domestic violence is something that we can no longer keep secret behind the pulpit, but we have to begin to teach against it. We have to begin to let husbands know that this is not the will of God. We have to begin to let men know. Here's another outstanding thing that the Holy Spirit revealed to me. We say statistically that those who have been raised up in a home where domestic violence has been perpetrated often become batterers themselves. How many of those children came through the church? I mean, come on. We have to begin to look at this. Pastors, teachers, women coordinators, we have to begin to look at this, and we have to find a remedy and a way of ministering to those who are going through domestic violence, children who are witnessing domestic violence, perpetrators who don't know how to, they themselves perhaps were raised in a home where domestic violence was being perpetrated and never sought out counseling, never sought out how do I deal with this monster that's growing on the inside of me. And so we have to begin to minister. You know, I say, at your men's ministry, talk about domestic violence. Talk about anger problems, misdirected anger. Talk about the spirit of rage. Come on, the spirit of wrath. Begin to talk about those things and then give them some biblical word as to how they can begin to come against that. Amen. But again, this is a subject matter that needs to be taught. And so on today, I have so many things that I wanted to just kind of mention, but those things, and I'm praying that again that this segment will fall on the ear of leaders in churches, fall on the ear of those who are leaders, women, men, ministries, things of that nature, and we'll begin to deal with it. Here's another alarming thing, to fall on the youth pastors. amen, the youth counselors, because this is a growing epidemic even in high schools. There are a lot of variables that we can begin to speak about as far as why this is growing in the high schools. Rap has a lot to do with it, where women are being spoken of negatively and that they're being treated as property, sexism, things of that nature. There are a lot of variables that we can begin to speak about on that light, but the truth of the matter is that it's a growing problem. Read in the paper today about a young man who was accused of raping a classmate, 11 years old. 11. 11, I was playing green light, red light. And here we have an 11-year-old who is sexually abused a classmate at school. Now, there are a whole lot of questions behind that. What was the teacher? What was an adult? How was it that he was in? Because from what I read in the article, this offense took place in a library. What was the librarian? There are a lot of questions. But the main thing is, where did he pick this up? Where did he learn that behavior? That's an even more important question. And so our society, come on, our society seems to be one that's turning to violence. Every day we hear about different things, but on tonight, okay, I'm going to stay on track. I'm getting back in my lane. We're talking about it from a domestic violence standpoint. Amen. Where abuse is being perpetrated by an intimate partner or by a husband. And so as we begin to look at that, again, wanted to talk about emotional abuse. And when we think about emotional abuse, I'm not sure what comes to your mind. But emotional abuse, most people feel like if there's no scars, if there are no visible scars, you know, they're all right. I'm okay. You know, he didn't hit me. Or I know somebody else and they went through it and he hits them. And that's not my case. So, you know, I don't really have a problem because there are no physical bruising. But emotional abuse consists of withholding attention, withholding touches, words based on acceptance and performance. It can have an abandonment type of emotional setback to you. It can occur when one partner is leaving the other or using that thing, the threat of leaving. It's talking about emotional abuse can be belittling you. Again, emotional abuse, the list goes on and on with emotional abuse. And so we have to begin to look at that, especially, again, on the onset of relationships, so that if you see emotional abuse, you can begin to back away slowly. If you can back away fast, do that too. Okay? Many women assume that if they're not being physically abused by their partner, then they're not being abused. And that's not necessarily true. You may be in a relationship which is draining something from you, and you may not have recognized that your partner has eroded your self-esteem or your self-worth and your happiness. So some of the questions that I'm going to ask, and if you are saying yes to these questions, you need to look and listen a little more intently. Do you feel that you can't discuss different things with your partner things that are bothering you? Does your partner frequently criticize you, humiliate you, or undermine your self-esteem? Does your partner ridicule you for expressing yourself? Does your partner isolate you from friends, family, or groups? Does your partner limit your access to work, money, material resources? Has your partner ever stolen from you or run up your debts or run up debts for you to handle? Does your relationship swing back and forth between a lot of emotional distance and being very close? Have you ever felt obligated to have sex just to avoid an argument about it? Do you sometimes feel trapped in the relationship? Has your partner ever thrown away your belongings, destroyed objects, or threatened you? Are you afraid of your partner? And so as we begin to answer those questions, I want you to really, really begin to look at that. And if your answer to any of them was, you know, yes, perhaps you need to reach out to somebody for some help. Now, the thing of it is that if you're a person that's married, it's a different set of rules. It's a different set of rules, you know. If that's just your boo thing, run, Forrest, run. If it's just your boo thing, if it's your husband or if it's your wife in that situation, then you need to begin to go into prayer. You need to seek out help from your pastor. You need to, you know, call and begin to get some assistance. Another thing that I encourage people to do, if you're married and you want to seek out some assistance, if you have an EAP program, and usually on jobs they have an employee assistance program, you can call and start getting counseling for free because usually your job will pay it. And so that's another avenue for you to go through. Another thing that you need to begin to look at, I want to go over some of the psychological abuse humiliating or embarrassing you, constant put down, refusing to communicate, ignoring or excluding you, extramarital affairs, use of sarcasm, an unpleasant tone of voice, unreasonable jealousy, extreme moodiness, mean jokes, or constantly making fun of you, saying, I love you, but, you could do this better. I love you, but, you know, be mindful of that. Saying things like, if you don't, I will. Domination and control, withdrawal of affection, guilt trips, making everything your fault. Key red flag, making everything your fault. Watch this. Or making everything somebody else's fault. She never accepts responsibility for her wrongs. That's a red flag. It's always somebody else's fault. Isolating you from friends and family, using money to control you, constant calling or texting you when you are not with him or her, threatening to commit suicide if you leave. I want you to begin to look at these things. If these are attributes that you've seen in the person or even attributes that you've seen in your spouse, there are some things that you need to start doing. You need to reach out to somebody and get some assistance and get some help, because we're in a time and we're in an era where men are lovers of themselves. That's a biblical stance. The Bible says that in the end times, men will be lovers of themselves. And that is one of the key problems, I believe, for those who are dominators, those who are abusive. They're thinking about themselves alone, and they want to dominate and they want to control. And so we need to begin to take a look at that and begin to, you know, seek out help from somebody or seek out help from an agency. Find out, you know, if you can call 1-800 domestic violence. There are hotlines that you can call and get help and assistance with that. So these are the things that you want to begin to look at. You want to seek out some serious, serious help. And again, you want to be mindful of the relationships that you're going in. You want to be mindful of your partner. Again, I have to say that you look at the fact of how does he treat you? How does he treat others around you? How does he treat his mom? You know, don't rush into anything. Take your time in the relationship. Weigh everything. Look at everything. And then, you know, begin to make an assessment based on what you're seeing as to whether or not you need to stay or as to whether or not you need to get out and get out quick. Again, that's to the person who is not married. To those who are married, you want to seek out some time where you can talk to your pastor or talk to somebody about, you know, the violence that you're going through, and look and seek out some help for that. somebody that's telling you all the time that you're too sensitive. That's a problem. You know, if they're not sensitive to how you feel, they don't want to hear what it is that you have to say. I recently was talking to a young lady, and she was telling me about her boyfriend, and she began to tell me about how he was not sensitive to some things she was going through, some events in her life, and I don't want to go into too much detail, but as I was listening to her talk, I said, that sounds like emotional abuse. And I said, you know, you really, really need to begin to look at that for what it's worth. And I can say, and I'm proud to say, or it pleases me to say, that she got out of that relationship and she's doing fine. But it wasn't until she was speaking to me and I'm standing and I'm listening to her and I'm like, that sounds like emotional abuse. And she broke up with him. So what is emotional abuse? It involves regular pattern of verbal offense, threatening, bullying, constant criticism, as well as more subtle tactics like intimidation, shaming, manipulation. Emotional abuse is used to control and subjugate the other person. Quite often it occurs because the abuser has childhood wounds and insecurity that they haven't dealt with, perhaps as a result of being abused themselves. They then learn healthy coping mechanisms or how to have positive, healthy relationships. Instead, they feel angry, hurt, fearful, and powerless. Now, this doesn't give excuse for them to treat you like that. They need help. They need assistance, too. And perhaps one of the things you can say is, you know, you need some help. You know, why are you always putting me down? You know, why are you always, you know, doing this and bring it up as a subject matter? And if it's a subject matter that only causes further turbulence, if you'll let me say it like that, then you don't want to talk about it. You want to get out of it. Amen. As far as a husband and a wife is concerned, you know, just begin to talk to them. Tell me about your childhood. Tell me about how you grew up, and that as a wife you can begin to intercede and pray for the different things that's going on in your spouse's life. And because I'm trying to say spouse, because I do understand that domestic violence is not just isolated to men. While in most cases the man is the perpetrator, that is not true in all cases. And so I want to just say the spouse. Now, male and female abusers tend to have high rates of personality disorders, including borderline personality disorders and things of that nature. So, in other words, there could perhaps be something that's deeper. It could be like some mental issues that need to be addressed in the person's life, you know, something. And one thing that I've come to note and come to understand, especially as African Americans, is that we were not subjected to being able to go and get counseling. For some reason, growing up as a child, I can remember, you know, my mom, you crazy, or people are crazy, but we never really did anything to go and get help. We didn't have psychologists, we didn't have counselors, we didn't do that. That was like taboo for the African American, you know, those who are African American. And so it's something that we need to look at, because in most cases things of that nature have been overlooked. And so you want to talk about that. You want to begin to look at that. You know, if this is you, you're married, your spouse, you want to begin to look at some of the behaviors that you see. Start looking it up to find out if it's attributed to anything that needs to be addressed by a psychologist or by a counselor, that it takes deeper counseling for that person. And so you want to begin to look at that. What else was I going to say with reference to mental issues and things of that nature? You definitely want to get help, and we want to look at it for what it is. Oh, I know what it was. You want to look at whether or not the person is abusing alcohol or drugs. If when they are drinking, they turn into this person that you don't know, and that's usually when the volatile behavior escalates, then you want to begin to look at how often are they drinking, how often are they doing drugs. You want to have your eyes wide open, you know. And I know that people say that the substance that comes from God's ground is good, But if it's marijuana and they're doing it obsessively and it's causing a behavioral change, you want to address that too. And so those are some things that you that could be attributing factors to the abusive relation, to the abusive behavior, as well as to the emotional abuse. So these are things that you, again, want to keep your eyes wide open and begin to look at. I think back to the movie, and some of you may remember Tina Turner's story, where what's love got to do with it, and most of the instances when Ike would be all wild and out of sorts, it was because he had a cocaine addiction, and as he went to try to get the cocaine addiction dealt with, you'll remember in one of the episodes he was trying to talk to it, brought her these beautiful flowers, and she was smart enough to know and to understand. She kept the car door open in case she needed an escape route, a quick getaway. She listened to what he had to say, and again, that control, because he had not dealt with, because he had not gotten counseling for the actual his behavior with domestic violence. He ain't messing around with them narcotics no more. I ain't messing around with them narcotics. But he hadn't had the proper counseling that he needed to help him with his anger, with the rage. And so as he was talking to her with the control issue, as he was talking to her, you remember, he was talking to her, then she said, "Oh, there he is, there that Ike is," you know, and she went on about her business. She left that. Left the situation. And so I'm not trying to tell the movie, but I just wanted to give you something to associate with the fact that when there are other parameters or when there are other variables that's in it as well, you know, and we deal with, you know, we think that he's like that because he's on drugs, and then he goes to rehab for the drugs, but he didn't get help for the abuse. He didn't get help for the anger. He didn't get help for any of that. And I don't want to say anger. He didn't get help for the rage. He didn't get help for the control issues that he's having. And so you still got the problem. Amen. And so it's so important for us to be honest and look at these things for where they're really at. Begin to understand that you don't want anybody who's humiliating you, want anybody who's demeaning you on a regular basis. Everything they have to say is something derogatory. You don't want that. And so as you begin to deal with it, as you begin to look at it for what it is, you want to be sure that you're addressing it. You want to be sure, you know, that you're going into this thing with your eyes wide open. Again, if we can alleviate it from the standpoint of emotional abuse, then we probably can alleviate your having to get to a stage of where it's physical. Amen. And so you want to deal with these things. You want to take note of red flags in the relationship and not get so caught up in, ooh, he's so handsome, and not get so caught up in, ooh, but he got money. Don't be deceived by the enemy. Amen. Do not let the enemy dangle a carrot in your face and make you feel like you need to just get over or the one. He'll change. He'll change. Don't feel like, you know, I have to be honest with you, don't feel like your moves are going to make him and change him. You know, there's nothing you going to move. I don't care how you move. Stay with me. It's not going to change him. He needs help. She needs help. Okay, and so do not feel like, you know, the longer you stay in the relationship, he'll get better. You know what I'm saying? Things are going to change. You don't want to go into that feeling like that. And then if you're married, you don't want to feel like, you know, it's going to change. One of the things that I share in my testimony about going through domestic violence was I felt like if I leave him, I'm saying God can't do it. I kept saying, but if I leave, I'm saying God can't do it. If I leave, that's all I kept saying. If I leave, I'm saying God can't do it. But then I began to say, the Spirit showed me that you have to pray away. You have to pray away. Sometimes you have to look for your safety, get in a place of safety. And then as you're away from the situation, then they're more susceptible to hear the fact that you need help. You need counseling. you need counseling. And then to ensure or be sure that that they're going for counseling. You know what I'm saying? Don't go back. If you come back, I'll go to counseling. No, when you go to counseling, then we consider my coming back. Amen. I'm not saying to leave with the mind and the intent of staying gone, because there is help. And we know that there's nothing too hard for the Lord. We know that and we understand that. Amen. And so we have to be mindful of, you know, knowing the situation, knowing the circumstances, knowing that there is a time when you need to step away from the situation, step away from that volatile situation. And for this, I'm talking to the married, because if you're single, he gone, he out, he out of there. Amen. He's not married, you're not married, you know, I'm out of here. You know, and if you've been in a relationship for a long, long time, and after 5 years, come on, sweetie, after 2 years, come on, baby, after all of that time, and he's still doing the same thing, and you still hopeful, he needs help. He needs help, and you need to step away from that thing and allow him or her to get the help that they need. Amen. And so as we begin to look at that and begin to understand what's happening, you know, if they are making subtle threats and negative remarks with the intent of frightening you, they're always trying to frighten you, that's a part of control, trying to control you and trying to instill fear in you so that they can have better control of you. And you don't want to do that. So the first step for those being emotionally abused is recognize that it's happening. You have to recognize that it's happening. If you recognize any of these signs of emotional abuse in your relationship, you need to be honest with yourself so that you can regain the power. Amen. Be honest with yourself. Look at it for what it truly is. Don't make any more excuses. Amen. No more excuses. Look at it for what it is, and then you can get in a position where you can gain control of your life, stop the abuse, and begin to heal. For those who are being minimized, denying, and hiding the abuse, this can be a painful and frightening first step. Listen, I understand that it's something that you don't want to do. I understand all of that. But one of the things that I found out in my own walk was the fact that when I began to acknowledge it, when I began to stop making it a secret, that's when I began to regain power, and that's when I began to take control of my life. When I started talking about it, when I started saying, hey, this is what's going on, because at first I was like trying to hide it. I didn't want anybody to know about it. I told my children not to say anything about it, you know, and this is a secret. And we've talked about it. Secrets are not a good thing. The Bible says he who hides cannot prosper. He who hides cannot prosper. So you need to let it be known. Put it out there. Put it out there. Let it be known, you know, and let it be known that I want to be free of this thing. Let it be known my husband needs prayer, you know, talking to your pastor, talking to the man that's over the men's ministry, and going to him in confidence and letting him know, you know, look, this is what I'm going through with my husband, and I really need you to touch and agree with me in prayer that my husband will be delivered. Now, I'm being quickened by the Holy Ghost, so I need to say something. Don't go to the person that's over the men's ministry to cry on his shoulders. That's not his place. His shoulder is not your shoulder to cry on. So you want to make sure that nothing, because sometimes other things can jump off. Okay, I'm getting back in my lane. I'm getting back in my lane. But I just wanted to throw that out there, because we don't want to give place to the devil. Amen. We don't want to give place to the devil. And so as you begin to understand, and as you begin, I understand that it's scary. I understand that, you know, you've been hiding abuse for all this time, and you're thinking about, you know, what are people going to say, and how are people going to deal with me and react to me. That's little, you deal with that later. Right now, the first thing and the major thing of importance is for you to get to a place of safety. Amen. So the stress of emotional abuse will be eventually, it will catch up with you. It's stressful going through emotional abuse, and it can come on you as different types of illnesses. When you're going through emotional abuse, it can actually turn through things and begin to break you down physically. Amen. And so you don't want to, or you need to address it soon. And as soon as you take a note of it, to go ahead and address it, so that it's not affecting you in a derogatory way, physically. Emotional abuse can bring depression. It can bring on anxiety. And so you can't allow it to continue, even if it means ending the relationship. Even if it means ending the relationship, for those of you who are married, even if it means separating for a while, separating so that he can get the help that he needs, and let him know, you know, it's my desire to be with you. It's my desire for our covenant to take place, but it's not God's will for me to be your punching bag. It's not God's will for you to keep downing me and talking to me the way that you are. Amen. And so we need to get to a license, to a trained counselor, begin to talk to somebody. Most pastors have some type of counseling that they do through pastoral training. And so you want to begin to reach out and talk to somebody. Can an emotional abuser change? It's possible that an abuser who deeply desires to change and recognize his or her abusive patterns and the damage that they've caused, they can change. And I want to just leave it right there. They can change. There is nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too hard for God. But I want you, because this, we're talking about it from the aspects of the Bible, I want you to be in deep prayer. The Bible says this kind goes out but through fasting and praying. You want to be fasting and praying and laying before God on behalf of your husband or on behalf of your wife. Amen. On behalf of your husband, on behalf of your wife. Amen. And those are the only two auspices where should be going on. And so we want to look at it from that. So the statistics are the percentile of people changing is very, very gloom and doom. But we understand that God can do anything but fail. So again, emotional abuse, when you start talking about it, you want to stop making excuses. You want to stop blaming yourself. Amen. You want that person to accept responsibility and recognize that abuse is a choice, and it's a choice that they made. Whether it's emotional abuse, whether it's financial abuse, whatever kind of abuse it is, it's a choice, and they chose. Come on, somebody. They chose to do this. You want to identify the patterns of controlling behavior that they use. You know, be ready to talk about it, to tell them about it. Identify the attitudes that drive their abuse. What is it that triggered it? What happened? What was the circumstances around it? Not that, you know, there has to be any specific trigger, but you just want to talk about it. When you begin to talk about it, you're bringing it up. I've often shared during my that process of my life where macaroni and cheese, I make very good macaroni and cheese, and sometimes my husband would put some up for himself, and if somebody went in there and ate it, all hell broke loose, forgive my verbiage. You want to begin to talk about that. Accept that overcoming abusiveness is a decade-long process, not declaring themselves cured. It's a process that they're going to have to go through, and they have to be willing to go through it as long as they need to go through it to get the help that they need. And I just want to say right there that, you know, them going through the process and getting help, that coupled with fasting and praying, that coupled with them changing their disposition and their attitude with you, you know what I'm saying? Deliverance is the children's bread. Deliverance is the children's bread. And so they can be delivered, they can be set free, but they have to understand and recognize what's going on and what they need to do. Develop respectful, kind, supportive behavior. That's what you need for them to do. You need for them to carry their weight and sharing power. You know, you need to be able to talk about how the money is spent. You need to be able to talk about how things are done in the house. You need to be able to talk about how to rear children. They can't just feel like that, you know, my law is law and there is no other law. They need to be able to talk with you. They need to be able to share with you. Change how they act in heated conflicts. How do they handle conflicts? You want to begin to talk about that and deal with that, and then you want to find acceptable ways for them to deal with conflict. If the emotional abuser in your relationship isn't interested in changing and you aren't in a position to leave the relationship immediately, there are some things that you can begin to do to reclaim power, to reclaim your esteem, and things of that nature. So, some of the things that you can do is, you know, begin to think about your needs. Begin to think about, you know, what it is that you desire to have. Stop worrying and stop trying to please, you know, and protect the abuser. And, you know, begin to look at what's needed for you, for your emotional soundness. Amen. Begin to look at that. Set some firm boundaries. Tell your abuser that he or she may no longer yell at you and call you names and be rude to you and things of that nature. If the abuser tries to pick a fight or win an argument, don't exchange with anger. One of the scriptures that I've often used, the Bible says that, and I put it on Facebook recently, overcome evil with good. A kind word turns away wrath. And so, you know, beginning to understand and not feeling like you need to be argumentative with him or with her, whomever it is, you know, you don't need to over-explain yourself. You don't need to keep apologizing. You know, just keep quiet and try and walk away from the situation and try to diffuse it. Amen. Realizing that you can't fix them. You can't fix them. They have to want to be delivered. They have to want the change. Amen. So understanding that you can't fix them. And understand that you're not to blame. So don't blame yourself. Seek out some support. You know, if they won't go to counseling, I've often shared one of the best things that a girlfriend of mine told me. I had set up a counseling appointment with our employee assistance program, and my husband decided he didn't want to go. And so I was telling my girlfriend about it, and she said, "Then you go." And so I went and started getting counseling. Oh my goodness, the things and how that woman ministered to me. The good thing about it was I asked for a Christian counselor. Let me just put that in too. I specifically asked for a Christian counselor. And so when she would minister to me, there were some things that she couldn't say, you know, because of the state of Illinois and things of that nature. So whenever I would leave, when she would be ministering to me, she was saying that, you know, if I was talking to you as a Christian, I would say, and then she'd say whatever she wanted to say. But she said, but however, you know, so she would always, you know, give me the Christian aspect of how to deal with my situation. And one of the things also that she would do that I appreciated is that she always told me to have a plan of escape. Always know how you're going to get out if the situation gets too volatile. So you want to seek support. You want to talk to trusted friends or family or a counselor, you know, what you're going through. You want to be able to, you know, talk to them and know that this information that you're giving them is safe. Amen. And the last thing here that I just shared was develop an exit plan. My children and I had an exit plan. We had a word that we had devised. If I said that word, they knew not to go home. And we had a meeting place. And so these are just some things that you can do to prepare yourself. These are some things that you can do in the interim of, you know, getting the help that you need or to leave. So emotional abuse is a form of brainwashing that slowly erodes the victim's sense of self-worth, security, and trust in themselves and others. In many ways, it's more detrimental than physical abuse because it slowly disintegrates one's sense of self and personal value. It cuts to the core of your essential being, which can create lifelong psychological scars and emotional pain. So we just wanted to, again, talk to you about emotional abuse, some of the things that you can look for, and then we gave you some ideas that you can do if you are in an emotionally abusive relationship and you can't get out right away. You know, these are some of the things that you can do. I just want to share with you, you know, who's listening, that there is hope. And I say that, I don't say that as a cliche. I say that because it's truly an answer. There is hope for you. You know, whomever it is that I'm ministering to right now, I want you to know that you're not in this thing alone. You know, that God has someone who's available, who's ready to give a listening ear and ready to give an outstretched hand to assist you in your endeavor. I do want to open up to you are welcome to call Hope Alliance, Inc. You can call me at 708-574-2533. We're here for you. We're here to assist you. Also, you can reach out to us on our Facebook page for Hope Alliance, Inc. You can email us at healing@hope. You can email us, and we will do whatever it takes to assist you, to get you to a place of regaining your confidence, get you to a place of regaining soundness. And so I want to share a scripture with you, and I pray that it's a scripture that will bring comfort. It says, Lord, you know the hopes of the helpless. Surely you will listen to their cries and comfort them. You will bring justice to the orphans and to the oppressed so people can no longer terrify them. That's Psalms, the 10th chapter, the 17th and the 18th verse. God desires that you not live in terror. Hallelujah. God desires that you not live in fear. Amen. And so if that's the situation that you're in, please remember that there is hope, and reach out to us, reach out to someone, reach out to someone who will have a listening and a sensitive ear to what you're going through and who can lead you to a place of safety. I hope that this has been a blessing to you. I hope that you found a help for it, found an answer for a question that you may have had with regards to it. Our desire is just to assist you. So let us know what you feel about this. You are more than welcome to give us some feedback on our Facebook page. We would appreciate that as well. We're going to prepare to end in prayer. Amen. We're praying for those of you who are listening. Please, as we post this on Facebook, if you know of anybody who may need this, somebody who may need encouragement, they may not have told you that they're going through emotional abuse, but you've heard the way their partner ridicules, talks about them, put them down. You may want to sit forward this to them, you know, or you may want to put it on your page and say, check out my page. Check out my page and listen to, amen, because sometimes we don't want to set them up for any additional problems, amen. So perhaps the better thing to do would be to put it on your page and just tell them to go to your page and give an ear to this particular segment of Breaking the Silence, amen. Amen, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we just bless you and we just honor you, oh Lord God. Hallelujah. We're trusting in you and you alone, oh Father, that this segment will reach those that need help and that need assistance, oh Lord God. We pray now, oh Lord God, and we believe that we've said some things, oh God, that will empower them, oh Lord God, that will assist them through their process of what they're going through, oh Lord God. We pray for that wife, oh Lord God, hallelujah, who may be in a position of being belittled, oh Lord God, who may feel like there's no way out, there's no escape, oh Lord God. Father God, we just pray now, God, that you would give them, oh Lord God, wisdom, Holy Spirit, open their understanding to what it is that needs to be done in their situation, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We lift up, oh Lord God, that husband or that man, oh Lord God, who is an abuser and they don't know what to do. They've got this raging something on the inside of them, God, and they don't know how to handle it, oh, Lord God. We pray now, God, that they too will reach out, oh, Lord God, that they'll get help and that they'll get the assistance that they need, oh, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. We also lift up children, oh, Lord God, who are being subject, oh, Lord God, to violence, who are being subject to a mother who is being disrespected, who are being subject, oh, Lord God, hallelujah, to a father who's always ridiculing, oh, Lord God. We pray now, God, that they begin to know and understand that this is not the way that you would have it. This is not the marriage, God, that you designed, oh, Father God. This is not the covenant relationship that you meant for it to be, oh, Lord God. So we pray now, oh, Lord God, as pastors begin to speak out against this, as youth leaders and youth pastors begin to speak out against it, oh, Lord God, we pray now, God, that you'll give understanding to little ears, oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, God, we bless you. Abba, Father, we bless you on today, oh, Lord God. We thank you, oh, Lord God, for those who need to be led beside still waters, oh, Lord God. We pray for those, oh, God, whose souls need to be restored, oh, Lord God. And we understand that the soul is the mind, the intellect, oh, Lord God, the emotions. Somebody's soul needs to be restored. Oh, my God. So, God, we pray for them now, God, that you would begin to bring restoration, God, to the hurt places, God. Begin to build them up, oh, Father, where they've been torn down, oh, Lord God. Begin to let them know, oh, Lord God, that you desire, oh, Lord God, that they have good, oh, Lord God, that you know the plans that you have toward them and that their plans are good and not of evil, God. Hallelujah. To bring them to a mature and a perfect end. Oh, God, we lift them up before you now in the name of Jesus Christ. Have your way in their life, God. We call on Jehovah Shalom, oh, God. We call on Jehovah Shalom to step in to bring peace where there's confusion, God. Jehovah Shalom, oh, Lord God, to begin to make those crooked places straight. Jehovah Shalom, God. We call on you now in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, God, bring peace. Even now, in the name of Jesus Christ. So, God, we love you and we honor you, God. And we thank you, oh, Lord God, for hearing, for answering this prayer, God. We thank you, God, for being a way maker, oh, Lord God. We thank you, God, for being a very present help in the time of trouble. We thank you, oh, Lord God, for covering them, oh, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. God, we thank you that they're able to get to that secret place in you, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you. So we bind the enemy that would try to bring guilt, shame, condemnation. We bind that now in the name of Jesus Christ, oh, Lord God. And we thank you, oh, Lord God, that they're understanding that they're more than conquerors because you made them, oh, Lord God. Help them to understand and to know, oh, Lord God, that they are your beloved, oh, Lord God. Help them to understand, oh, Lord God, and to know that they are the apple of your eyes, oh, Lord God. I come against the enemy that would try to make them blame God for what they're going through, oh, Lord God. We pray now, God, that they'll understand, oh, Lord God, that this thing was meant of the enemy, oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. This was not you, Father, but help them know that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, God. Help them, oh, Lord God, to appropriate, oh, Lord God, where it needs to be, to appropriate whose fault, to appropriate what the enemy has done, oh, Lord God, and we come against them now in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we love you. Oh, God, we bless you, God, and we thank you so much for loving us, God. We thank you for loving us on today, Father, in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, God. We thank you. Hallelujah, God. We thank you, and we praise you the more and the more and the more. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray. And we count this prayer as done by faith. It is so. And so it is in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, we thank you so much for joining us on tonight. And we look forward to your joining us on next Thursday at 7:30 Central Standard Time. And another segment of Breaking the Silence. Amen. Good night, everyone, and have a good evening.